I'm going to get into the Word. Are you ready to take some notes on your phone if you have self-control and you cannot check Insta, Facebook or your bank account? Okay then. Father, we pray you would speak to us through your Word. Lord, your Word is what changes us. Lord, I pray that you would change the way we think and speak and operate. Make us more like you. Align us with your ways. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So my title today is Move That Mountain. Yeah. Move That Mountain. You know, sometimes in our lives, things don't always go sweet as. By the way, don't say sweet as in America, because they think you're saying something about their anatomy and they will abuse you. Just say it in New Zealand and we'll understand you. But sometimes in life, things don't always go sweet as. We have challenges. We have obstacles in our paths. Some people even here today in the room may be facing big mountains that need to be moved. Mountains of debt. Financial mountains, or mountains of lack, mountains of relationship breakdown, a relational mountain, mountains of that diagnosis, that bad report from the doctor, a health mountain. The thing about a mountain is it looks so big, it looks so permanent, it looks so immovable. And you know, we all want to have mountain-moving faith, don't we? But how do we do that? How do we respond when there's this mountain blocking the path that God has got us on? It's in the way. What do we do? Well, we normally talk about them, don't we? We tell our mother and we ring our friend and we talk about this big mountain in our way. We tell the girl at the checkout in the supermarket. We definitely tell our hairdresser and we talk about it. Look at this mountain and it's so big and bad and ugly and it's in my way and I can't get past it. But Jesus tells us to speak to our mountains, and they will move. Yeah. So instead of points, I've got four scriptures. Are you with me? Yeah. Scripture number one, write this down. Matthew 17, verse 20. Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now let's look at that. What did Jesus tell us to do? Jesus told us to say to the mountain. So we don't talk about the mountain. We actually talk to the mountain.
Yeah, come on.
He's telling us to not talk about our circumstances, but to talk to our circumstances. So many times we let the mountain speak to us when we need to be speaking to our mountain. And when we talk about our mountain over and over, we magnify it. It seems to get bigger. And then God, in comparison, seems to look smaller. But what we need to do is rise up and speak to that mountain in Jesus' name. And I don't care how big, bad, or ugly your mountain may be. We serve a mountain-moving God. He specializes in the impossible. He specializes in moving mountains. And he tells us to do the same. And I know, in a room of people this size, that there will be things that need to shift here today in the spirit realm. So whatever your mountain is, Jesus tells us how to shift them by speaking to them in faith with our mouths. Open your mouth today. Look at me like I'm the dentist. Open your mouth. That's right, with your mouth. Second scripture, Joshua 1 verse 8. This is the Lord talking to Joshua just before he went in and took the promised land. This was his instruction to him. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is in it. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. So do not let this book of the law, which is the Bible, the Word of God, do not let it depart from where? From where?
Your mouth.
Your mouth. It doesn't say, do not let this book depart from your bedside table where it is gathering dust. It says, do not let it depart from your mouth. Now, we know we need to be reading the Bible. We know we need to be hearing the Word of God through our phones or whatever, but we can't stop there. It's then got to be declared again out our mouths. It's not enough for God's Word to be going in our eyeballs and then into our brain. It's not enough for God's Word to be going in our ears through our earbuds from our phone. It's not enough for it to be going in. It also needs to be coming out again, out our mouth. Now, the Hebrew word for meditate is to mutter. And so we've got to be muttering the word of God. We see here a link between, in this scripture, between speaking the word of God, meditating on it, muttering it, and doing it, and then being prosperous and successful. So Joshua is taking new ground here. He is about to lead God's people to possess all he's promised them. But there are some mountains in the way. Yeah. Namely, giants in their situation. You know, when God leads us to take new ground, there's always a battle. You know, the devil had held this ground here in what is now known as Israel for 440 years at this point in time. Was the devil about to go, here you go, just have it? That's my devil voice. I'm not actually demon-possessed, I'm just pretending. Here, have it, it's yours. No way, Jose. There's always a battle. And right now, here in C3 City Church, we are taking ground. We've had the Hope Project, which our church is a big part of, because Dave Mann, who leads it, is in our church, which is bringing booklets about the gospel to the whole nation and ads on TV and social media engagement. We've had 11 days of prayer and fasting. We've had Easter services with lots of visitors coming. We've had Easter camp, which many of our youth went to. We've just had a Seeking God retreat. And you're having lots of new families come here at Coast. And in Tauranga, our car park is getting full each week. So all our hosts and people serving have to park under the trees. And we're getting bird poo on our cars. Hallelujah. That's what happens. Bird poo on the cars, what happens when we take back ground for the Lord? So God is telling us here in this text in Joshua, his people, to advance and take spiritual territory from the enemy. Are we naive enough to think Satan's just going to hand it over? Spiritual territory that he's occupied in Papamoa, in Tauranga, in this city, for generations? No, there's always a battle. But the commander of our army is Jesus, and he is always victorious. And I love how God not only tells Joshua to take new territory for God, he tells him how to do it by speaking the word of God. And the Lord tells Joshua to be strong and courageous 3 times in this chapter. He is telling us that today also. The Christian life demands courage, and that courage is supplied to us through the word of God. Did you know there are almost 7,500 promises? Exactly, there's 7,487 promises in the Bible that are specifically from God to people directly. So we've got to stand on those promises and take them personally and live by them. Do you know there was this guy, his name was Solomon Ginsberg, and he was a Polish Jew who lived over 100 years ago in Europe. He got saved. He became a flaming evangelist right across Europe, and he went to South America a lot. And in 1911, he needed a rest. He needed to have a break, a furlough. So he decided, okay, I'm finished here in Europe. I'm going to head across to America on a ship and have a break. So his route took him through Europe to Lisbon, the capital of Portugal, where he planned to get on a ship, cross the Bay of Biscay to London, and then get on another boat to the States. But when he arrived in Lisbon, there were signs everywhere and plastered all over the place. Bulletin boards warning, with telegrams warning of the terrible weather on the Bay of Biscay. And people said to him, don't go now. It's dangerous to sail. Delay your trip. He could delay his trip with his ticket. He could delay it a week. Everyone was saying to him, delay it a week. But he thought, I'm going to ask the Lord. And he prayed about it. And on his prayer calendar that day, he found a word from the word, a scripture there, Deuteronomy 2 verse 7. It said, for the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through the great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord has been with you and you've lacked nothing. And when he read that, faith came into his spirit and he knew God was telling him, it's okay, you can go now. So he got on the ship. He went across the Bay of Biscay. He crossed without incident, smooth sailing. Then when he got to London, he got in another ship called the Majestic. And he had a great voyage across the Atlantic. And when he arrived in the USA, he learned that had he delayed his trip in Lisbon, he would have arrived in London just in time to board the Titanic. Isn't it great when we hear from God? And we read the word and we hear words from God. It's really important to do that. You know, in the armor of God, the word is seen as a sword. And everything else in the armor is defensive. It protects us. But the sword, the word of God, is our only offensive weapon. We've got to learn how to use God's word like a sword, like a spiritual weapon. The word of God is so powerful. Like it says in Hebrews 4, verse 12, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the division of sword and soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And the word of God in your mouth, spoken out with faith, is extremely powerful. Third scripture, Hebrews 10, verse 23a. This is in the English Standard Version. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. And some versions say confession. Some of them, like the King James, says profession. But it means the same in the Greek. This word, confession or profession, in the Greek is homologia, if that's how you say it, which means agreement. Homo means the same. Logia is logos, the word of God. So it's saying we've got to hold fast this agreement with God. We've got to, it's meaning to say the same as God. So our profession, our confession out of our mouth is to say the same as God does. So when it comes to that big ugly mountain in your way, we need to be saying the same as God does. So we've got to ask ourselves, what does God's word say about my health? What does God say in his word about my finances? What does God say in his word about my marriage, my kids? Don't say how big your mountain is. Say what God's word says. Don't say what your feelings say. Don't say what your circumstances say. Don't say what your workmates say. Say what God's word says. Let's agree with God. Now, the Bible teaches us that words are powerful things. Fourth scripture, Proverbs number 4. Here we go. Proverbs 18, verse 21a says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Stick your tongue out. Why don't you turn to the person next to you? Stick your tongue out at them. It's your opportunity right now. Words are powerful things. What we say is both significant and powerful. So often believers, this is the problem here, right here, that many of us fall into this trap. The problem is so many believers get into agreement with the devil. And they're not even aware of it. And we speak sickness and death over ourselves so often without a thought. It's part of our culture. How are you, mate? Oh, I'm not feeling the best. I think I'm getting sick. I'm sure I've got COVID, at least the flu. And we're embracing sickness and we're welcoming it into our lives. Or you're at a cafe. Oh, I love those macaroons. They're to die for. Really? Die for a macaroon? But we speak of the stuff out over us, and we don't even know we're doing it. How are you? Oh, not bad. Really? Is that all we've got? Just slightly above bad. I used to say to my granddad, how are you, granddad? And he'd say, not bad, considering my age, the weather, and the government. That was the standard answer. I always say, when people ask me how I am, I always say, jolly good. And people go, oh, jolly. Is it jolly, is it? And I love what Alan says. He always says, exceptionally good. He says that every time. And often when we're out somewhere, someone go, how are you guys? And he'll say, exceptionally good. I'll say, jolly good. And people be shocked. And they're like, oh, why? What's happened? Like, oh my goodness. You're really good. What? There must be a reason. And then you get to share, yeah, I know Jesus. And you get to share the Lord when people are shocked that you're good, because we're usually all so bad. And we all say, not bad. But too often, we are agreeing with sickness and death through our words, and we don't even realize we're doing it. And we're speaking it over our lives. We've got to break our agreement with the devil and get into agreement with God. Because we don't only reap what we sow, we also reap what we say. And when we speak the word of God out over our lives and our circumstances, we are speaking into the spirit realm. And demons here and angels are dispatched to do God's work. The word of God has huge creative power. We know that God brought about all that we see, all of the universe, all of creation, by his words. He didn't make the heavens and the earth with a hammer and nails. He spoke it into being. He said, let there be light, and it happened. The darkness was changed as the light came and banished it. And I want to tell you today that God's word still has creative power. And God's word in your mouth still has creative power today. Did you know that we, the people of God, are called to be God's change agents here on earth? We are called by God to bring His change into the world and not settle for the status quo. We are called by God to bring His kingdom to earth, like Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are to bring God's kingdom into this reality, not just accept what there already is, the status quo. You know, back in Genesis 1, when the Lord spoke and the heavens and earth were created, it says in chapter 1, verse 2, it says, when God created the earth, it says, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. Some versions say chaos was over the surface of the deep. Darkness and emptiness and chaos. What did God do when He saw there was darkness and emptiness and chaos? Did He say, oh, bummer, darkness, I hate it, I hope for some light, but anyway, never mind, I guess I'll just have to live with it. No, He didn't. He did something about it. He changed it by speaking. He spoke light, and there was light. The Lord did not settle for darkness. He spoke light. He did not settle for the status quo. He exercised His spiritual authority by speaking words, and we are to also. Far too often, we settle for darkness instead of speaking the word which brings light. I want to ask you today, are you settling for darkness? Is there an area of your life where you are settling for darkness instead of speaking the word of God, which brings light, which brings change? Yes, come on. Don't submit to the conditions of darkness. Change them. Yes, you have authority. God has given us His authority. Like Luke 10:19, Jesus said, I have given you authority over all the enemy's power. You will walk on snakes and scorpions. You will crush them under your feet. Nothing shall in any way do you harm. We have no idea how powerful we really are in the Lord. Why don't you tell the person next to you, you have no idea how powerful I really am. That's right. Thank you, Lord. We have to exercise the spiritual authority God has given us by speaking His word. We've got to speak light into those dark circumstances. Speak the word into the spiritual darkness and watch the light invade it. Yeah. Too often we misuse our words. We misuse our words because we moan and complain about our big mountains and our tragic situations. Tragedy! And we have a big moan session and we call it a prayer time. Well, Lord, I've got an eviction notice in the mail today. I guess that must be what you want for me. I suppose this means you want me to be homeless and find a waterproof park bench to sleep under because I got this official letter, so I guess it must be your will for my life. No! We don't have to settle for conditions of darkness. We don't have to live in the shadow of that big, cold, ugly mountain. Just because you've been hit with some negative circumstances doesn't mean you have to accept them and lie down and die. We've got to ditch this case, sarah, sarah theology. Whatever will be. No. We've got to bury that fatalistic thinking. Hey, if you're confused about what God's will is for your life, don't be. It's right here. Just read the book. Amen. There's too much passive Christianity around. We've got to learn how to be spiritually aggressive and fight. The Lord is raising up some warriors. The kingdom of God is an ever-increasing, expanding kingdom. And we've got to stop whinging and whining about our problems to God because there's no faith in that. And if we just read Exodus and Numbers, we will learn very quickly that God hates moaning and complaining. Yeah. And we're having our prayer time, our moan session that we call a prayer time, and God's like, what's that whining sound? Angels, can you hear something? It sounds like a mosquito. Gabriel, get the fly spray. He hates moaning and complaining. Instead of whinging, we've got to be positive. We've got to be proactive. We've got to speak out the word of God. Because the word of God has prophetic power. The word of God has Holy Spirit anointing. The word of God is God-breathed. And when we speak it out, we are releasing our faith. We are communicating our belief. Did you know that Jesus spoke healing to people far more than ever prayed for it? He spoke it to them. He spoke to the fig tree and it withered. He spoke to the lame beggar and the guy was healed. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter spoke to him, and he was healed. Paul spoke to the sorcerer on the island, and he was temporarily blinded. Joshua spoke to the sun, and it stopped in the sky for half a day. When we speak to our mountains, we are saying what God says. We are speaking the will of God into being on earth. And when we pray for people who are sick, we pray in faith. We speak out the word of God. We don't pray like, oh God, if you can, would you please heal this tormented soul and body if it's your will? What is that? We know it's God's will to heal because we've read the book. Deuteronomy 28, blessings and curses. Sickness is a curse. Good health is part of the blessing. Jesus took sickness on the cross. Jesus suffered so we wouldn't have to. So we speak to the sickness. Fever, get off him in Jesus' name. Cancer, get off your body in the name of Jesus. Get out. You're evicted. We don't beg God in prayer. We speak out his word in faith. Because guess what? God does not respond to need. He responds to faith. If he responded to need, there would be no poor people in the whole world. There would be no sick people in the whole world. He is pleased with faith. It says in Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please God. The word of God is to be our truth and our reality, not what we currently see around us. And I love John Wesley, how he lived by the word of God. That guy was incredible, and he saved Britain from a bloody revolution. Not swearing, there was blood. In the French Revolution, other countries like Russia, France were having revolutions, and lots of people were being beheaded. But in Britain, the Lord saved Britain from a revolution by sending a revival, and he sent John Wesley and his brother Charles. And John Wesley rode over a quarter of a million miles, mostly on horseback, or sometimes he walked, to preach the gospel up and down Britain. He went to the States for a bit, but mostly around Britain. And, you know, back then there was no antibiotics invented until the 1930s. So this was like the early 1800s roundabout. And you know, he'd get wet in the rain because England has terrible weather. Eric has told me. And it rains all the time. And if you get cold, you can get the flu or pneumonia or something like that. There's no antibiotics. You can die. That's why when some of us were kids and we'd play out in the rain, our mothers would yell, "Come in or you'll catch your death." Anyway, praise God for penicillin and other things. So he was getting wet and he was getting sick and he was getting in pain and fever. Even his horse was getting lame. And one day all he could do was just lie there like this and his whole body was burning. And then he said, "God, I've got to get up and preach." And God gave him the strength to get up and preach, because when you're preaching, the anointing gets on you. And he felt okay. But afterwards, he stopped preaching. He was lying there again. "Oh, God, help me. I've got to get up again tonight." And then suddenly a word came into his mind. A word from the word. And he spoke it out. Mark 16, 17. "These signs shall follow those who believe." And he started thinking about the signs that followed. And he spoke it out. And he got up and he started praying. And guess what happened? The pain vanished. The fever left. His strength returned. Even his horse was okay. And he was able to preach. And we've got to do what John Wesley did. Speak the word of God to our mountains that need to move. Speak the word of God to our circumstances that need to change. Prophesy the word into our situations, into the darkness. Yes. We firstly command the mountains to move in the spirit realm, and then we see it outworked in the natural realm. Maybe your mountain is a relational one, even in your family. Some of you have got kids who are away from God, but the Lord wants to encourage you that they're going to come back. He wants us to change the way we pray for them. He wants us to stand on the word and proclaim that word for them. Like Isaiah 54. So this one's not on the screen, so write it down. Isaiah 54, 13. "All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace." Other translations, "All your children will be disciples of the Lord, and great will be their peace." So we start praying on that word. "Thank you, Lord. All my children will be taught by you, will be disciples of you." Not just some of them, Lord, all of them. Now you put your kid's name in there and you make it personal. Yes. "Thank you, Lord, that little Felicia will be taught by the Lord, and great will be her peace." Yes. Then you get another one. You're using your sword now. Psalm 112, verse 1 and 2. "Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land." So instead of begging God, whinging and complaining and praying out of fear, "Oh God,
don't know what's going to happen to Felicia. She's on drugs and she's hanging with the background. I think she's got a pea lamb in her wardrobe. Oh, God.
No, you stand on the foundation of the Word of God, the unshakable foundation of the Word of God. And you're speaking out the Word over her life as you're driving to work. You're speaking out the Word and you're prophesying over her as you're driving to work. God, I thank you that Felicia will be taught by the Lord. She will be a disciple of the Lord and great will be her peace. Thank you, Lord, that Felicia will be mighty in the land. When you're in the shower in the morning, you're saying, thank you, Lord, Felicia will be mighty in the land. She will be your disciple. She will have great peace. And I tell you what happens inside of you. A conviction in your spirit starts to rise and you start to get the substance of faith happening inside you, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So you're hearing with your ears, your mouth speaking out the Word. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. So if you don't have it, you can get it. If the band could join me, that'd be great. So yeah, this substance of faith is forming inside of you and you can see it now. That girl is coming back to Jesus. It is just a matter of time. Thank you, Lord. Yes. To finish, maybe your mountain is a financial one. And you can't see how you'll ever get ahead. You can't see how you'll ever get out of debt. You can't see how you will ever afford a house in Tauranga. So you need to get a word from the Word about your finances. What does God want? Because heaven's economy is never in a recession. And we live by heaven's economy. Our source is not our boss, it's not the government, it's not our pay packet, it's not our parents. It is the Lord Almighty, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. So you get a word from the Word about your finances and you speak it out and you pray it and you prophesy it with boldness and faith. And as you start to speak out the Word of God, faith rises in your spirit and then you really start to declare it. Now you're prophesying and you believe it. It is really important for our own spirit to hear the Word of God being spoken out our own mouths over our lives. This is what happens when we speak out the Word of God. It goes in our eyes as we read it, then out our mouth, and then we hear it in our ears. So all our senses are being assaulted by the Word of God. Many of you have heard us, so I won't tell the story, but God gave me a word when we'd gone through a difficult financial situation about 17 years ago. And for 7 years, I prayed it every day. I think it's 2 Samuel 7, verse 16, I think. I believe in God for a house. And so I'd speak this word out. I wrote it out. The Lord said, I will provide a place for my people. And I put our name in there, the Hoods. And we'll plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Spoke that out for 7 years. And miraculously, we got a house. We were given a few thousand dollars and we were offered to buy the house that we were renting for a very low amount because there were no real estate agents involved. And we didn't think any bank would give us a mortgage. But then one bank did, which was a miracle. And we are still in that house today, and it's more than doubled in value. We were a million miles away from buying a house. But God gave us a word. He will fulfill His word. Let's stand today. We're going to move some mountains. The Lord is going to move them. Whatever type of mountain you may be facing today, health, financial, in your family, there are verses of scripture. There are promises in the word about it. We just got to go to the word, get our sword out, find out what God says about it, write it out, speak it out, memorize it, say it and prophesy it over our families, over our circumstances, over our bank accounts, over our health. In Jesus' name, we're going to see some mountains moved. We don't have to live and die in that cold shadow of that big ugly mountain. We can speak the word and will of God into being and see it move in Jesus' name.